You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So we're in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and day three is you, and it's in 1 Peter 2:9 to 10. And one thing I really wanted to ask us this morning, and I was asked this question yesterday, is what is it that you're praying for? In this time of prayer and fasting, in this season right now, what is it that you are praying to God for? What is it that you're asking for? What's on your heart? What's on your mind in this season? Because God hears your prayers as soon as you hear them. And I really want to go on from last week's message from Mark chapter 9. And if you haven't seen the message yet, it's available online. But I really wanted just to flow on from that because I felt like the Spirit of God was still wanting to share from this passage of Scripture. And so from my last week's message in Mark chapter 9, we heard about a young boy being brought to the disciples by his father to them for prayer and healing. Here's this young boy, and his father is bringing him because he's sick and he's desperately needing healing. And so the father brings this young boy, his child who's sick, to the disciples. And the young boy has epilepsy and a demonic spirit that is harassing him. And as the disciples go to pray for him, the young boy doesn't get healed. And clearly the disciples can see in this moment something is not working. It worked last week. It worked yesterday. Jesus had sent them out to heal the sick. But this day, with this young boy in front of them, something is not working like it did yesterday. There's a large crowd forming with teachers of the law, onlookers, a desperate father, and a tormented son. And the crisis now is brewing. But then we see something miraculous happen. Jesus comes into this same crisis. Mark 9:15 says, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Crowd disperses, arguments cease, tension is interrupted, focus is redirected of the crowd, and the crowd is filled with such wonder. Running to Jesus has become their total priority and focus. Jesus is in this crisis with truth and with power, and he addresses every issue that stood with prominence and strength, and in that moment, he takes it captive, melting every issue like wax in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 97:5 says this, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. When the Lord of all the earth draws near, the heavens proclaim his righteousness and all the peoples see his glory. We see in the book of John, when the soldiers drew near to take Jesus captive, his presence, his words of who he was in that moment, when he said to the soldiers, I am, his words knocked the soldiers backward. John 18:6 says this, and the moment Jesus spoke the words, I am he, the mob fell backward to the ground. When the Lord of all the earth draws near, people see his glory. What can break tension? What can pull down arguments, break strongholds, heal disease, bring freedom to the oppressed? It is the presence and the voice of the Lord, and I am he says to us today. He is Jesus Christ, the Almighty. When Jesus enters the crisis of the crowd with different timing to the apostles. Jesus had come from a completely different position in a completely different time frame. The power is not always in the time you arrive. It's what you've been doing in preparation to meet that moment that can make the critical difference. While the teachers of the law were arguing, Jesus was having conversations with Elijah and Moses. While the apostles in that moment were being surrounded by that crowd of the crisis, Jesus was face to face in a different position with the presence and the voice of Almighty God. while the apostles were being identified by what they could not do, Jesus was being identified as the Son of God. "This is my Son," the Father's word said. "Listen to him." The presence of the Spirit of the Lord was mightily upon Jesus. And in the crisis of this crowd, there was a hunger for truth. Truth transformed every person in that crowd. The words of the Father, "Jesus, my beloved Son, listen to him," never rang so true in this moment of crisis. For the disciples, they were about to learn critical words for a lesson that held great truths. Mark 9:28-29 says from the voice, "Later he and his disciples gathered privately in a house, and the disciples said to Jesus, 'Why couldn't we heal that boy? Why couldn't we see him be freed?' Then with the truth that brings divine intervention, they heard the voice of the Lord clearly." Jesus said that sort of powerful spirit can only be conquered with much prayer and fasting. And I think there's an incredible observation to make. The position has changed for the disciples. From a position of crisis, from a position of tension, from a position of arguments, they have now moved from a position of crisis to the position of being face to face with Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, "We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." What position do we go from in our moments of crisis? Because the position you arrive to from a struggle, the position that you arrive to from a crisis, determines who your deliverance and who your truth comes from. In between your expectation and the outcome, in the middle is always process. This was not the finished outcome for the disciples. They were just in the middle of process and they just didn't know it yet. If you allow yourself to be processed, this determines the right outcomes based on God's truth, God's ways, God's thoughts, and God's presence. C.S. Lewis said, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, walking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me." The position they came from, the position of what the disciples thought was failure, they made the decision from that moment of crisis to position themselves face to face with Jesus. They allowed themselves to be processed by Jesus, determining a new way forward, which added deeper levels of understanding, power, and authority of who Jesus was, but who they could really be because of him. Confusion, failure, to absolute truth and direction. It revealed their next step. And we see this in the book of Psalms with Asaph. Asaph was a worship leader under King David. And Asaph was struggling with confusion. And in Psalm 73:16-17, it says the words of Asaph, "When I thought how to understand this, when I thought how to decipher through my confusion and the struggle in my mind, it was just too painful for me to confront until." It was too painful for me to address or to try and discern or understand until I went into the sanctuary of God and in the light of his glory and his grace, then I understood. Until I came into your presence and heard your voice. Psalm 29:4-11 says this, a psalm of David. "The voice of the Lord so desperately needed to us as his Christians, as his bodies. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength, and the Lord blesses them with his peace. You know, this is not merely a picture of a thunderstorm. This is a picture of an act of divine intervention when the voice of the Lord speaks. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and in his grace. David is describing the Lord's voice is powerful. The Lord's voice is wonderful, and it comes with divine intervention. The Lord's voice is powerful this morning, and it comes with divine intervention. What needs to split and shatter that stands tall, defiant, and strong in your world? What mountains of heaviness need to skip and to leap? What barren wilderness needs to shake to uncover clarity and direction for your Lord, for your life? The voice of the Lord is divine, supernatural intervention today. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord is divine intervention. And in his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules, the Lord reigns, the Lord gives his people strength. And the Lord today blesses you with his peace. This kind of disease, Jesus said to the disciples, this kind of argument and tension, this kind of hopelessness, this wall, this anxiety, this depression, this stronghold, mountain, wilderness, needs the power of the Spirit of God. This demand needs men and women to rise up in prayer, supernatural prayer of the Holy Spirit, who speaks the word of the Lord through you. That you will hear the voice of the Lord and know your identity of who you are and what he has called you to move in. You have been called to move in power and authority. You are his bride. You are his church this morning. It is you that has been released on mission to this earth. It is you that has been designed to have local impact and influence. God has designed you to walk with power and authority this morning. And this kind of tension, this kind of mountain, this kind of anxiety, Jesus is saying to us, it is a call to go deeper into supernatural prayer, because it's supernatural prayer that is going to make these mountains leap. It's going to see these strongholds come down. It's going to see deliverance and freedom for those that are oppressed and sick. And you, the church, have been called to arise in beauty, to arise in splendor. Not in your authority, not in your words, not in your ways. What is it that we can do in our own humanity, but with God, his Spirit, his resurrected Spirit living alive in you? That's what meets the anxiety. That's what meets the mountain. That's what meets the stronghold. And he is living and dwelling and residing in with you through the Holy Spirit today. He wants you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to hear the voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to pray through you the voice of the Lord and the words of the Father, so that you may see, you may hear, you may know what it is that he is saying to you. I love what he says to us this morning. You have been called You have been designed. You have been commissioned this morning. Oh, you mighty, you sons and daughters of the mighty who have power and on whom that power is transferred to you by succession and inheritance, who have royal blood running in your veins, arise. You have access to the Father and His voice through the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells and resides within you. John 14, 26 to 27 says, "But the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me," hear those words, "in my place, not to be pushed aside, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember what I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you, not as the world gives, as do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." So where is it that we start? Where is it that we start in this supernatural prayer? Where is it that we start in coming face to face with Jesus? What position do we need for us to be in for our next step? And I think very firstly, it's just start. Just start. Position yourself wherever it is. Just start. You might not hear a clear direction. You might not hear clearly what to do, but you know how to praise and you know how to worship and you know how to pour your heart before Jesus. Just start by talking to Him, a conversation with the King of Kings, who wants to have intimacy with you, a close personal relationship. Like the disciples, after a crisis, the first position that they came to from the crisis was face to face with Jesus. Just start by positioning yourself face to face with His Word, face to face with praising and worship Him, face to face with having that conversation with Him. Position yourself. When you position yourself, if you allow yourself to wait, if you allow yourself to be in the process, you will hear an instruction. You will hear a gentle word. You will hear words of love that come to you that stir your spirit. And in those words, God will give you a direction how to follow Him, how to come closer into that intimate relationship with Him. Just stay in the process until you hear. He will walk with you. This is intimacy. God wants to walk with you. And He will walk with you so much that you will never want to leave Him, and it will cause you to go deeper into your relationship with Him. Your constant position will be, "Jesus, I just want to be face to face with you in your presence." Any types of crisis is my first position. I want to be face to face with you. Even if there is no crisis, my spirit and my heart just desire to be face to face with you. Stay in the process, because He has the perfect outcome to show you where to get to, based on His truth and His knowledge of you. Romans 8:26 says this, "And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know what to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit, when you speak in that supernatural heavenly language, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God." When you speak in tongues with that prayer language, the Holy Spirit is super interceding on you, on your behalf, pleading to God for you. Listen to that. the Holy Spirit is pleading to God for you, for your tension, for your crisis, for your struggle, for your life, for your future, for your family, for your impact and influence. The Holy Spirit is going to God and interceding and praying on behalf of you, making your requests known, pleading to God with emotional sighs, too deep for words. Supernatural intervention, His voice, His words, His clarity, His direction, His road clearly seen through the wilderness. Do you need supernatural intervention today? Does your family need supernatural intervention today? Does that sickness that you're believing for to be transferred into healing, does your body need super intervention today from God? What is it that you are asking for God in this time of prayer and fasting? What is it that you are making your requests known before the Lord? Because your God hears you as soon as you pray. But we just have to stay in the process, because God's word never fails. God's word never returns void. You will get the clarity and the answer because God is sure of His word. And today you too can be. You know, about 18 months ago, Lee and I came to a place where we hit an absolute wall. And physically and emotionally and spiritually, when you hit these walls that everybody will come to in the seasons of their life, it is exhausting physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And this wall was so great. It had so much impact, and it was just so full of crisis, and we didn't know what to do. Sometimes that confusion sets in, that feeling over your body of tension, of anxiety, worrying about what's going to be the solution, what's going to be the answer. All I feel like is that I'm in a wilderness right now and I'm desperate for clarity, but I can't see any. And I don't even know how to get to that clarity when all I see is trees. And so what we did is we positioned ourselves. Was it easy? No. Were we exhausted? Yes. But our first position, our first response is one where I must come face to face with God. How is it that we know to come face to face with God? Why? Because you can trust Him. I can trust Him. His word does not fail me. And I know this because of the power of my testimonies in my past. And what I do is I recall the testimonies of my past. And that's what launches me into that position face to face with Jesus. And I prayed. Exhausted, I prayed. Anxious, I prayed. Confused and in the dark, I prayed. And I said this very dangerous prayer. Those dangerous prayers. I seem to always pray dangerous prayers. And I said, God, whatever we need to do, I'll do. Whatever we need to leave behind that is trying to entangle me and trip us up, I want to leave behind. Untangle it, God. Whatever we need to sell, we'll sell. Whatever we need to budget better on, we'll do it. Whatever we need to move, whatever we need to change, the most important thing that we say to you right now in our prayer, God, the most important thing is us as individuals, our marriage, our children, our family, and the most important thing as well is the call of God that you have upon our lives. So often it's so easy to push the good things that God has given you aside when crisis hits you. But can you allow yourself to stay in the process and learn what it is that God might be trying to teach you? For the disciples, for the apostles that day, that was a moment of crisis, but there was a greater lesson for the disciples to learn that was going to show them their next step. When you're in a crisis in your life, it's not a wall, it's for God to come and show you how to get over that wall so it doesn't trip you up the next time. It's a testimony. God is the God of power and authority and breakthrough. He told the sun to rise. He told the waters to cease. Your God is powerful, but how you position yourself in a crisis is so vital to where it leads you. I want the road in the wilderness, and I want to find my streams in my deserts. God said, you would have trouble in this world, but take heart, his heart, he has overcome the world. You are more than overcomers for those who believe in him. So our moment of crisis, even though you're exhausted, even though you're feeling the tension, can it be one where you encourage yourself in the Lord and say, God, in this crisis, I'm coming to you. I'm positioning myself face to you. Whatever it is that we need to do or to change, we will do, because you are the most valuable thing in our life. And so I left that prayer with God. And over that time, over that course of 18 months, I heard nothing. But can you stay in the process? I heard nothing, but can I stay in the process? What was I doing in the process? Positioning myself. Praying, fasting, spending time with God, because I know that God will answer me when it's his right timing. And 18 months later, I had this beautiful little nudge, little just nudge on the shoulder, and he gave me the word and the clarity about how to see through the wilderness. It's interesting when you get a word from God, because he gives it to you in your spirit, but sometimes we don't always process those words from God in our spirit. We go down to our soul realm, our mind, our will and emotions. And I said to God, I'm not sure how I feel about that word. That's really clear. Is that you? No, I'm not sure if it was it you. I know what I'll do. I'll test it with my husband, because I know how he feels about this matter, and I'm sure everything will be okay and we'll be back to normal and I won't really have to follow through with that very dangerous word. You see, God heard my prayer. I'll do anything. I'll move anything. I'll sell anything. I'll redirect anything, because I want your call and I want my family in that call. As for me and my house, we will. Not sometimes, not after the crisis is gone, through the seasons, through the crisis, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I went to my husband and said, hey, what do you think about this? Really low key, no spark in my voice whatsoever. And he said, no, I don't think we should do that, because this was our plan. Okay, fantastic. I'm so glad. I am rejoicing. I don't think it was the Lord, but I knew it was. Because it was here, and I was trying to interpret the will of God. I was trying to interpret his words in my mind, how I felt about it, the decisions that I'd already made about that, my emotions. You see, it's funny, when God comes to you with a word, there's a lesson behind it for your benefit, for your benefit, for your benefit. And what it actually detected, that there was something in my mind, will, and emotions that wanted to keep what God was asking me to put aside. I liked talking about what I had. I liked saying, well, this is what we've accomplished and this is what we've done. That's what my mind, soul, and will like to do. But that was my flesh, and that was not the ways of the Spirit. And so my husband, who hears from the Lord, comes back and says to me, you know, I think that that's a good idea. I think that we should do this. And I went, okay. And you know what's interesting about obedience? As soon as you come into alignment, as soon as you come into obedience, as soon as you start to walk with him in his ways, as soon as you start to think with him with his thoughts, joy from being obedient leaps up in your heart. And suddenly that mountain, suddenly that mountain and that wilderness and that desert is now a road, is now a river, is now a stream, and is now as light as anything. Obedience brings joy. Can I encourage you, church? Don't process the words of the Father by your mind, will, and emotions. Don't let it stay there. It might start there, but don't let it end there. Would you be open and vulnerable? Open up your heart wide. Holy Spirit, would you help me as the comforter? I'm struggling. Would you come and be my guide and the counselor? Counsel me from my mind, will, and emotions where I'm getting stuck. Would you counsel me to come up from that bottom where I am? And would you help me to process it and understand it by my spirit? by the Spirit of the Lord says God wants to help you understand things today. You know, it was 18 months later that I got that answer. Can you stay in the process? Because it's so worth the wait. You know, the most minute detail. The Holy Spirit heard my prayer that day. He saw us that day, and he took those prayers and he made those groanings and put those requests before God Almighty. The most minute detail the Holy Spirit gave. The Holy Spirit will not miss one detail, but he will have complete accuracy when he prays through you and with you. His voice, his words to reveal truth to you. All things are possible to those who believe. That's the revelation of God's voice that he wants to bring into your life. A revelation is an uncovering. Imagine a plastic school lunchbox. You might not be able to see what's inside of it, but as soon as I peel the lid open, you can see the fantastic lunch that's inside of it. That's what the voice of the Lord is. That's what the Holy Spirit, through speaking in tongues, wants to give to you. As you speak in tongues, what comes back? The revealed word of the Father. Things that you couldn't see, you will now see. Things that you didn't know, you will now hear. And even the way God wants you to do it. Why? Because he wants you to walk in power and authority and joy and peace of the Lord, because that is your strength this morning. Revelation is the supernatural communication of truth to our mind. Every problem is different, which reveals how much more we need the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit, who wants to partner with us in prayer. Every time we are confronted with a need, the Holy Spirit will pray accurately every single time through you. Specifically, accurately, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is our guide and helper. One who comes alongside of you. We don't know how to do it at times. So rather than abandon us, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And it's from that long Greek word, which means to fall into a ditch with somebody else. This is what happens. We're in a crisis when we can't see with clarity, when we're not understanding, and it might feel like we're in a ditch and we can't see out. The Holy Spirit comes into that ditch with you, and he doesn't just sit with you like empathy and say, hey, I'm so sorry how you're feeling at the moment. No, he goes further than empathy. He comes into that ditch with you. He takes you by the hands and he lifts you out and he puts you on your feet whole, because that's resurrection power. He takes things that are dead. He takes things that are in crisis and he lifts them to their feet. That's what speaking in tongues does this morning. Supernatural prayer. Suddenly we begin to pray accurately about things that by ourselves we could never have accurately prayed about. This is the supernatural role of the Holy Spirit in those that pray in tongues. A supernatural level of prayer, and when you pray in tongues, you enter into that deeper dimension that Jesus was talking to his disciples about, that you could never get into yourself. This is the promise of God to every person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. He takes you by the hand and he pulls you to your feet, that you can stand in power and authority, because that is your inheritance. What did Jesus do with the boy? He spoke with the voice of his Father. Jesus spoke to that boy. He spoke to that spirit that was harassing his body. I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The boy was completely healed and set free. And the boy looked so much like a corpse to everybody else that many said, the boy is dead. Nothing has happened. But Jesus. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he arose out of that ditch of sickness and he stood up on his own two feet, standing free, healed, delivered, face to face. His first position of being healed and set free was face to face with the living Savior. James 5:17 says this as the band comes. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is a dynamic and can have tremendous power. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed earnestly, intensely, for it not to rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. You know, this morning, do you need to hear the voice of God? Do you need to come face to face with him in his presence of a Savior? Have you hit a ditch in an area of your life? Is there a wall? And you need to be shown a new way from God's thoughts, from God's ways, from God's perspective. You know, on Monday, I was quietly falling asleep with an audiobook. And in this one moment, I was jolted awake because I know that the Spirit of God needed me to hear this. It was A.W. Tozer's book, Coming Closer, Coming Deeper in That Dimension with God. And he said these words that when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, he had to go up that hill and take his son because God had spoken a word to him. And he said it like this, that Abraham must have been the night before of having to do this, follow this instruction. You can imagine the toil. You can imagine the anxiety. You can imagine it just wrenching him in his heart and in his mind. And then I thought he would have started to go through a process, A.W. Tozer said, of thinking, okay, well, maybe if I do this, God will resurrect him. So it's going to be okay. I know if I do this, I know if I follow him, I think it might work out. But he didn't know. And so the next day, the time came for Abraham to follow the instruction that God had gave him. And we know what the end of the story is. It was never God's plan to ever have Abraham sacrifice his son. But what was it there to do? It was there to see what was the treasure in Abraham's heart. What was the treasure in his heart? Was it the promise? Was it his son Isaac? Isaac was now a young man. Relationship and love had been formed with this young man. Was this the love of his heart? Was this the treasure? Or was God going to be the only treasure of his heart? And I know God was speaking to me in that moment, Naomi, what is the treasure in your heart? Do I have all of you? Because I want to pour my thoughts into you and I want to pour my ways into you. But is your heart open enough so that it is only full for my treasures? My treasures of thoughts, my treasures of ways, my treasures of peace, my treasures of power and authority. Is your heart? Does it just have me as your treasure? Is God the treasure of your heart? Is God the treasure of your life? Is God the treasure in your crisis? Is God the treasure in your storm? Is God the treasure in your grief? Is God your treasure this morning, because he wants to pour his thoughts, his ways, his love, but his words. If you're in this place this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you'd like, to bow your head and close your eyes. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the product of his hands. Heaven's poetry is etched on our lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. The voice of God wants to be known. And as we open up our heart, as we open up our spirit to that relationship of intimacy with the Holy Spirit, he wants to pour in the voice of God. Father, I just pray for every single person here. Can you stand this morning with me? God, can we just pray for every single person here that, Father, that we are the product of your hand. Heaven's poetry has been etched on our lives. We have been created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works that God created long ago. That, Father, you have called us to influence. You have called us to take people by the hand, to take anxiety by the hand, to take disease by the hand, to take sickness by the hand, to take confusion by the hand, and to lift it on its feet through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for every person here this morning, that as we come into this time that we're in of prayer and fasting, that you are calling us deeper, that you are stirring our spirits, that you may be the only treasure of our hearts, that God, to have intimacy through you, God, because of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells and resides within us.